For those of you who are regular listeners to the show, you will know that I'm very disorganized and very unprofessional, and yet managed to, get more done than anybody else in this freaking country, ironically. You know, it's like a lot of people accuse me of being unprofessional, and my response is usually the same. The world's run by professionals currently, isn't it? How's that working out for you? all right, you know, it's... I don't know. We put these levels on people. You know, you're supposed to achieve this level before you do before you progress onto the next one. Blah 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 blah. The whole hierarchical brain structure type thing. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, namely because all the people that I've ever met that are incredibly effective at what they do, whether they be activists, business people, or writers, etc., are usually people who just don't follow rules. Mostly because, well, rules are created by people who don't want you to think, don't want you to advance, don't want you to maintain any kind of growth, power, etc. You know, the kind of backward-looking people. And I had a guest on last week, I think it was on Friday, and his name is Victor H. Fisher, PhD, had him on from China, and we had this discussion about retrospective and prospective people. Like, everybody knows what a prospector is. You know, you cruise down to the blah, 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 and start panhandling and get the grains and the wheat and the blah, 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 blah. You know, trying to find a little bit of gold out of all the rough. And that's basically what a prospective person does. You know, they like conflict, they like challenges, they like going out there because they actually try to solve problems and make things happen. Retrospective people, on the other hand, are basically like somebody who's driving, and instead of looking out the windshield, they're only looking in the rearview mirror. Okay, anytime you disagree with them or anything, they take it as an insult and start attacking you because they believe that the best defense is a good offense, and that doesn't work or fly with me whatsoever. Namely, because you are essentially going to accomplish very, very little in circles, because you tend to alienate anybody who might help you, and anybody who's a friend who's attempting to advance you somewhat down the track. Hold on a second. Anybody who's a friend of yours or something who's trying to advance you down the track or help you, you interpret them as basically insulting you and being your enemy, and you wind up attacking them. And then they're like, well, what is this all about? What is this all about? Because they're a prospective person that doesn't actually attack people or have any of those crazy emotional problems and what have you, you know? And I thought it was a great conversation I was having with them, because it explains so much about a lot of the people who irritate me or just mean to me or act insanely towards me, you know, that kind of thing. And we had something like that happen to me last week, or I think it might have been a week in 9/11, on 9/11 or something like that. Had a guest who reacted in a similar way to me, and at the time I was wondering, well, why would they do that? How would this happen? And you know, kind of like I don't know. I take everything personally, basically. For a short period of time, at least, until I comprehend what exactly happened. And half the time, if somebody's messing with me, it's not because I've ballsed up per se. It's more the fact that they're not willing to entertain the notion that I do think that I make mistakes or do things unintentionally, and anything that I do that inconveniences them, they assume that it's me specifically attacking them and trying to mess them around and yada yada yada. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Just paranoids, crazy, antisocial behavior that is simply not my bag, you know. And then I get threatened and sabotaged, and indeed get one of my guests pulled because of this conversation. And I was just thinking, and Victor even elaborated on this, that when these people get like that, like I said, you know, best defense is a good offense. Instead of explaining, instead of asking questions, instead of, but basically doing anything that a reasonable person would do, like a problem solver would, they simply have no other recourse. They don't know how to be a good person. They don't know how to be understanding. They don't know how to be reasonable. Whether or not they can or can't, I don't know. Okay, point is, if you want to look around you, okay, have a look at the friends that you've got surrounded by you in a daily day. Are they prospective people or are they retrospective people? If you have a discussion with them, do they start accusing you and saying, this is what you think and this is what you think and blah, 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 and you're just a this, you're just a that? Or are they saying, well, this is what I think and I'm just a this and I'm just a that, and then they listen to you kind of thing? That's sort of the difference. I love those conversations. Two people explaining to each other who each other is when they have no idea who each other is. It happens all the time. And particularly between leftists and right-wingers. Incidentally, we had this conversation with a commie, a socialist. I would have really loved to be around during the 70s, during the red thing. I probably would have been on the side of the brutal right-wingers, you know, just slapping down the commies, you know. But anyway, what was her name? I forget what her name was, but it was this old lady at the vitamin C protest that we did on the weekend outside the Auckland City Hospital, and this lady came in and she was kind of like, I don't know, she tried to explain to us that chemotherapy saved her life. Okay, and I said to her, okay, do you know about the placebo effect? And then she accuses me of accusing her of being an idiot. You don't think I know what a placebo effect is? Blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, you're definitely a socialist then. just angry, no brains, assertive, with nothing backing it up. Okay, it's like a bridge that has no support struts. Okay. As soon as you start going over that bridge in terms of a conversation with these people, it gives way and you realize that you're just falling into a freaking abyss with these fracks, okay? And it was like, before the conversation even starts, see, I have conversations, commies have arguments, okay? Because they misinterpret everything, okay? They misinterpret tax as a good thing. They misinterpret draconian legislation as a good thing. They misinterpret lying politicians that are leftists as a good thing. They misinterpret poisoning people in order to be good for their health as a good thing. Okay, that's basically the communist mentality. If it's real and it's logical, they don't believe in it. Or at least this is the assertion I've done from this one commie. And it's basically if you define one person, there'll be elements that are similar around the rest of them, but. What was interesting is that during this alleged conversation / argument, she tried to find points of agreement with me. Actually, the opposite. She tried to make me find points of agreements with her. Like she'd say, "Oh, you must agree with the Green Party and doing a big one-off levy for Christchurch." And I go, "Well, no. I mean, I don't live in Christchurch. I shouldn't have to pay to rebuild it. And the government's already bailed out all the insurance companies down there. And they're already implementing Agenda 21 like no tomorrow. They're already built in this giant sandy suburban eastern suburbs type thing, which they were told not to. And it completely destroyed everybody's homes. And there's like 13 schools or something closing down and everything like that. Do I want to contribute money to that? No, I don't. But communism and social justice, as it were, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pay through the nose for stuff that ain't your fault so that other people who ain't your responsibility don't have to provide for themselves or take any personal responsibility or come together as communities. Instead, just sit around and wait for people who have nothing to do with you to come out of the woodwork to help your ass. Isn't that freaking stupid? Come on. And the aggression that these people and the betrayal of any form of common decency. Okay, commies like to claim that they have the moral high ground, and I can't for the life of me understand how anybody who has any slight belief any slight quantity of research into the field of history could in any way, shape or form even entertain the idea of being a socialist or a communist or anything like that. Okay, it was all started up by the massive bankers, okay, financed and what have you, and basically... You have a look at any communist place that's ever kind of gotten themselves running. What's the central bank? What's the central platform of? Oh yeah, private central bank run by the Rothschilds and other assorted scum. Okay, but they have no idea about this. Okay, they don't care, right? And and the other element is, even if that wasn't the case, even if there was something decent about communism, it's overrided by all the historical facts. Okay, China. If you're a socialist and you're into social justice, in what part of communism does exterminating people connote social justice? 60 million, 80 million, goodness knows how many Chinese that Chairman Mao exterminated, you know, took over the country at a barrel of a gun with 1%. It's a dictatorship. So if you're a commie and you love socialism or whatever, basically what you're saying to me is, I love genocide, I love murdering people, I love taxing the poor to give to the rich, and I love being a moron and a sucker. Okay, that's the only thing that really springs to mind. You know, and you can go further into it if you want. Pol Pot exterminated millions of people or whatever. He said, oh, we're going to be socialist now. We're going to force everybody out of the cities and force them onto the land with virtually no technology so they can just live as frickin' rural peasants. Isn't that loving? Isn't that left? Stalin, Lenin, Trotsky, all of these manipulative figures in the communist film are practically deified. Like, oh, he had great ideas. You know, he killed millions of people. Yeah, but he had great ideas though. Hitler had freaking great ideas. If that's the case, why are you communist? Why don't you be fascist? Because it seems actually more like what you're looking at here is national socialism rather than just plain straight up communism. Because they're the same freaking thing. Okay. Why don't you wear a swastika that has on your arm with a hammer and sickle on it? Okay, a swastika, like a swizzle stick of some description, just to identify how much of a moronic, fascist, goose stepping piece of trash you are. Okay, is that? The kind of thing that these people would have to do in order so that people would be able to recognize them for what they are, incredibly dangerous people who are more than willing to sacrifice everybody else and everybody else's life, everybody else's property in order to fulfill their idea of the perfect society. That's what it is. It's everybody else's responsibility to make my life frickin' perfect, to make my life frickin' easy. It's an abdication of personal responsibility at its base core. It's taking away people's responsibilities from all the way throughout society, down the chain. You don't have to look after your health. You don't have to look after your job security. You don't have to look after your house. You don't have to get new clothes or anything like that. You don't have to pay your power bill, blah, 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 blah. Government takes care of all of that. Now, on the one hand, that could be okay. It could be okay. You know, it'd be nice if I didn't have to work, if I could just sit around on the fat of the land and do my own business and stuff like that. And if I should ever basically fall into a deep depth of despair and scumbaggery, there'd be some kind of catch net there. But the thing is, I have a catch net. It's called having friends. It's called having a social network. It's called volunteering. It's called actually giving a frack. It's called doing things that you're not told to do because you are compelled to do them because they are the right thing to do. Not compelling other people to do things by which you think it is the right thing to do. You need to actually be doing that yourself. You need to be putting yourself on the line if you want to have any kind of decent, just society. And a socialist does not think like that. I'm not the one who's supposed to be going out there and challenging scumbaggery and ambushing politicians and blah, 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 blah. What I instead want to do is force other people to do that stuff that I could do myself, but I'm too freaking lazy to because I'm too much of a freaking communist sitting home hoping that a government check comes my way so that I don't have to work again so that everybody can have to do exactly what I say, even though I've got no experience, no responsibility, and I don't really have any morals, any ethics, any logic, or knowledge of history, or anything. And anybody who actually tells me anything different is a Nazi, is a crazy right-winger, an evil person that is absolutely going to destroy me and take out the country. Well, in actual fact, it's what you are, frack face. Shut the frack up. Get the frack out of here. Look, if you are capable of putting a label on yourself, I'm a socialist, I'm a capitalist, I'm a Christian, you're a mind-controlled slave. Okay? I fit into no box. No box. That's why I won't go to jail. Hopefully. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.